There's so many places in the Bible that we have pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, I'm not much for these pictures that we see around with the effeminate looking person on the canvas and with all of the makeup and everything they've got on him and the long hair and all of that. And you look at all of that. That's not a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But there are pictures all the way through the Bible. And one of my favorites is found in the book of Isaiah in chapter number 63. Isaiah chapter number 63. Are we okay? All right. I thought maybe you just turned me down a little bit. Eh? Amen. Anyway, what time am I supposed to get through? 7 o'clock?
Doesn't matter.
All right. We'll try to get through. I don't want to take any time away from Brother Shane. Amen. All right. All right. Isaiah chapter 63, if you're able to stand, let's stand in respect to the reading of God's Word. Not in respect to the man, but to the Word. Amen. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Amen. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? Now, you notice he said your garments like him. Amen. He didn't say that he'd been treading in the wine fat, but he said it like him. You know, sometimes we read things into the Bible without even realizing it. But here he's saying, You look like the man that mashes the grapes and makes the wine. Well, the Lord could make wine, but he never made any fermented wine. Amen. And I've had to fight that battle a lot of places, but he never made any that would make a man drunk. He said, wherefore art thou red in thine apparel and thine garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your goodness to us. And now, Lord, I pray that you'd bless the reading of your word and the preaching of it. Lord, I pray that you'd just overrule me, and I pray, God, that you'd put the words in my mouth that you want to be said, and Lord, just put a guard on my lips and help me not to say things that would not be pleasing to you. Father, we love you tonight. Love this church and this preacher and these people, Lord. We pray, God, that you'd bless and have your way here throughout this whole meeting, and Lord, just thank you for letting us come. We thank you in Christ Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, I think that Isaiah was given a clearer vision of the coming Messiah than any other Old Testament prophet except John the Baptist. John the Baptist, of course, was an Old Testament prophet. And he had a clear revelation of the Lord. But I believe if you go back to Isaiah, you find the clearest of all there. I'm thinking tonight about how that we see the picture here and then over in the book of Mark, and I'm not going to go there and preach now, but in the book of Mark in chapter number 15, we have the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in his suffering, amen, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you go over to the book of Revelation, chapter number 1, and you start reading and you find the revelation there, the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ with the white hair like wool and all of the description that it gives there of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's so many things, and so we could just preach we could preach for hours on pictures of Christ in the Bible. But this one always has gotten my attention when I read about him. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel. Amen. Now the Bible says, even Isaiah said that he wasn't beautiful to look upon. There was no comeliness, you know. I mean, he was just an average looking person, an average looking Jewish person. And so there was nothing about him that was necessarily appealing. But my friend, you can't get around the Lord Jesus Christ without seeing the beauty of the Savior. Amen? The beauty of the Savior. And so we see him in his glorious apparel traveling in the greatness. Now this is where the beauty of the Lord comes forth. In the greatness of his strength. There is no greater strength than the strength of our Savior. Amen? And so when they nailed him to the cross, they beat him up and they nailed him to a cross and he didn't revile. He just took it, you know. That's what makes him so great.
True.
Amen?
Right.
They couldn't kill him. They could not kill the Savior.
No.
He laid down his life. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down. Amen. And he said, I can take it up again. And he did. Amen. And so we look at the strength of our Savior. And he said, traveling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness. That's another thing that adds to the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. The beauty of his righteousness, amen? The beauty of his righteousness. And then, not only that, let me just say this while I'm there. You know, it never even occurred to him to sin. He was tempted in all manners, even as we are, and yet without sin, amen? And that's a beautiful picture of a man who has the strength to say no. Amen. I'm going to tell you, folks, we need to learn to say no. We need to follow the example of our Savior and learn to say no. Amen. And he said, wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth the winefat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. I like that song where it says, though no one go with me, still I will follow. Amen. Though no one go with me, still I will follow. That's an example that is learned from following after the Savior. Amen. Because he alone made the world. Amen. Spoke it into being. Of course, the Holy Spirit moved upon all of it. But God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're all one. Amen. The one and the same. But Jesus is the manifestation of the of God the Father. Amen. And so when we look at this and we see how that he treaded the wine press, he said, I've trodden the wine press alone. Hey, listen. There is a work to do, and when you think about the wine that is trodden, how that the grapes were trodden, and how that the juice comes into being. It's not fermented at that point, and it's not an alcoholic beverage, but it is a wonderful sweet nectar. Amen. Wonderful. I don't know how anybody, why anybody wants to wait for it to get rotten before that they drink it. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you what, you wait till it's rotten to drink it and you'll be rotten. That's for sure. You'll have eyes that are red and all of that talks about in the book of Proverbs. And so we think about this and how that he alone did the work that only could bring forth. A grape is a wonderful piece of fruit. There were grapes in that fruit basket, amen. And my wife won't let me have the blue ones. And she gave me the green ones. I told her I'd get even for it, amen. Anyway. Those grapes are beautiful. And they do taste wonderful, you know. But there's just something about that skin that's on the grape that's irritating, you know. You get it in your mouth. I'm glad for the grapes now. Please, don't be offended. I'm glad they're there. But I'm trying to illustrate a point. When you eat the grape, you know, there's seed, there's the skin, and you got to roll it around on your tongue a little bit to get them seed out of there. And then you got to get the skin out of there. And it's clinging to your teeth and things like that. You know. But you know what? You can get that after it's all squeezed out. And the sweetness of the grape comes out. Amen? The sweetness of the grape. The sweetness of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sweetness of the ministry, fellas. The sweetness of the ministry is oft times brought about by the hardships of the ministry.
You're right.
Amen.
You're right.
The hardships of, you know, we all suffer those hardships. Those of us are in the ministry, and you Christians, all of us, you know, we're all the same. Families, they don't understand us, and we're fellow workers don't understand us, and we always got problems over being a Christian. Amen. But it's worth it. It's worth it. And the sweetness of the fruit of righteousness is the presence of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He comes in all of the bitterness and all of the heartache and all of the pain that comes with being a Christian. Amen. Hey, listen, He never promised it'd be a bed of roses. Don't ever promise somebody if you get saved, everything will be all right. That's a lie, amen. You just started into the trouble when you get saved. Amen. Don't ever lie to people, try to get them to get saved. Tell them the truth, you know. God can take care of your problems, amen. God can help you to solve your problems. There's no problem too big for Him. But don't promise them that everything's going to be all right, because it wasn't all right for Him. And it hadn't been all right for Peter, and it wasn't all right for Paul and Silas and all of the rest of them. It wasn't all right for Stephen, amen? If you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to have to die to self, first of all, and you may have to die to the flesh. I mean, you may be martyred, and that time's coming closer to us all the time, where people are being martyred for being Christian. But the sweetness of that is what Stephen said as they stoned him to death. I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. Yes, sir. Oh, listen. That makes chills run up down my spine. Well, I think about how that Peter was suffering and how he was being martyred for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that he was dying under that awful pain and agony of having large stones cast upon him and his head crushed and his bones crushed and all of the things that were happening to him. But in the mercy of God, he lifted up his eyes and looked and saw Jesus standing up to receive him. Woo!
Yeah. Amen. Thank God for
that. Yes, sir.
Amen.
The Lord will stand up for you. Amen. And the Lord will stand with you. Amen.
Amen.
And when the going gets rough and the world crushes in and the flesh crushes in and the devil tries to give his last dying blow, as we look at that and we see Jesus beyond all of that, we see Jesus standing up to receive the suffering saint. Oh my, I'm telling you what. When I look at this tonight, we see Jesus, amen. And we see some things that Isaiah, he was given that great perspective vision of the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw a vision of His native glory. If you turn back to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 6 for a moment. Isaiah, chapter number 6. And as we look in Isaiah, give me a minute, I'll catch up with you. All right. In Isaiah chapter 6, and look at verses 1 through 3. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face. With 2 he covered his feet. and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Have you seen the glory of the Lord lately? You know, sometimes we just get caught up in self so much that all we see is ourself, you know, self-glory, you know. We've got so much going on in pulpits across the land today, in churches across the land today, where they've actually taken the pulpit out, and they've taken the communion table out, and they've taken the piano out and put the drums in its place and the strobe lights, and they're doing this, so what they call drama dancing, you know, and all that stuff that's going on. It's nothing but glory on the flesh, amen? But there's no glory in the Lord. But the glory of the Lord is not in performing for him. The glory of the Lord is in allowing him to minister through you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. And so he got a vision of his native glory. I'm telling you what, if you get just a little look at the glory of God, amen, and you begin to experience the glory of God, and he will not share his glory with anyone. But when we see his glory in its rightful place, crowned upon him, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we see the glory of God on him, what a difference it makes. Amen. Not only see a vision of his native glory, but in chapter 7 of Isaiah, chapter number 7, I lost my place, we'll get back there. In chapter number 7, we see a vision of his incarnation. Amen. In Isaiah 7 and verse number 14, he said, Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, being God with us. Amen. God with us. Hey, listen, will you stop and think? What the Bible says about us, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? And God made us that way. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. When Jesus took upon himself a body of flesh, born of a virgin, there's never been another person born like that. There's never been another like him. There never will be another one. They can pretend to be him, and the Bible teaches in the last days there'll be many that will come and say that they are Christ. But none of them can meet up to his manifestations. Amen. So when you think about Jesus, think about his incarnation. Look at chapter 9. I like Isaiah. Amen. Isaiah is the little Bible in the Bible. Amen. And Romans is the little Bible in the New Testament. When you look at Isaiah chapter number 9 and look at verses 6 and 7, if you would with me, please. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Oh, listen, that's wonderful, isn't it? That's for you and me. Amen. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, and you've never experienced the child, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born of a virgin and was given. He was given for you and me, that we might have eternal life. Our sins to be forgiven.
Amen.
And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Yes, sir.
Woo, I'm telling you what, whenever you start thinking about how wonderful he is, amen. When you start thinking about how he is the perfect counselor, he'll never give you bad advice. You can always trust what he tells you, amen. And then not only that, but he's the Mighty God. Oh, there's not any greater than him. I love that song, How Great Thou Art. Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I think about that song and think about how that the writer of that song tried so hard to show the mightiness and the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he did a wonderful job. Amen. I'm not being critical, but I'm here to tell you that half has not been seen. The half has not been seen. And then, of course, the everlasting Father. When I think about the word everlasting, my mind can't comprehend. Amen. Right. The only thing we can comprehend is from birth to the grave. Amen. Right. That's as far as I can comprehend. But I sure do believe what God says about it. Amen. Yeah. I sure do look forward. Amen. I look forward to those mansions in glory. Amen. Oh, you can have a room and house if you want to. It's not in my Father's house or many apartments, amen. It's in my Father's house or many mansions, amen. My first wife and I, when we first got married, we had to live in a place. I was in the Air Force, and we were in a place where it was kind of like a courtyard, you know, and it was apartments, and they joined each other. I'm telling you what, they were throwing bottles against the wall on one side and cursing and carrying on the other side. And I said, I've got to have a house. Amen. I've got to have a house. And so we went and rented a house. But I'm here to tell you that there'll be no houses and no apartments rented in heaven. Amen. I don't have anything in this world to claim as my house, but I can claim what God's building for me in heaven. And I'm going to tell you, when I get there, it's going to have everything I ever desire, everything I ever wanted. Amen. It's going to be in that house because God Himself is the builder. Amen. Do you think this? You know, I was looking today as we were traveling across town, brother. I was trying to look at you and look at at what was around me too. And I was looking at thinking about the hills in this part of the country and how that they roll. You know, you just go over one hill, and I got to singing one more hill, one more valley. Amen. And I was thinking about how beautiful it is. Looking down on the Mississippi, y'all see the Mississippi River totally different than we do. In St. Louis, it ain't very good to look at. Amen. It's just a big sewer down there. But y'all got the clean water up here. Amen. Now, part of the fault of that is what's coming down from Nebraska and the Dakotas and down the Missouri, you know. And when they converge up there at Alton, Missouri, just above Alton, Missouri, you can see, actually, when you go and look at the river there, you can see the muddy Missouri and the Mississippi. And by the time the Mississippi gets there, it isn't too good anyway. But when they come together there, you can just see how the mud's coming into the river from the Missouri, all that farmland up in the northwest, you know, and up in that area. Well, when you think about how that converges and how that God has made such wonderful beauty in this world. I've been out west. I've stood at the Grand Canyon and just looked at the glory of God. I wept the first time I went out there, and I stood. We went across the bridge and went over to the observation deck over there. It was closing time, and my wife and I were the only two people in the park. The man said, was a Christian. He was an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist, a guard that was there. And he found out I was a preacher. He said, just go on, drive on across the bridge, he said. Go on over and enjoy it. So we went over and enjoyed it for a little while. But I tell you what, I looked down on that, the creation of God. Oh, listen, people can tell you all they want to that it took millions and billions of years for it to happen, but I'm here to tell you that God made it happen. Amen. God made it happen, and it's beautiful to look at. And when you think about how that the psalmist said, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't know how anybody could not believe in God and not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and study anything about the body. God didn't make any mistakes. They say, well, what about cancer? And what about all of these other diseases and all of that? God didn't make that. That's a curse.
Amen.
That's the curse of sin, amen? And I'm not accusing people who have it of sinning. I'm simply saying it goes back to Adam, amen? That's where it messed up. It was at Adam. And if you and I would have been there, it still messed up.
Yes, sir.
We can't point a finger at Adam and say it's all his fault. Because some of it's our fault as well. When I think about the incarnation, when I think about one of the things that really, really reaches out and grabs my heart, you'll find in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. I'm talking about the deep humiliation. Amen. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, when I stop and think about that, he could have called 10,000 angels. He could have called all the legions. It wouldn't have taken but one. Amen. All he had to do is call for one angel. And he knows them all by name. Amen. He could have called Michael. He could have called any one of them and said, put a stop to this. He wouldn't even have to call them. All he had to do is say, stop.
Yeah.
And everything would have stopped. But he took it for you and for me. He took our sins upon himself and he died for us. The deep humiliation. With it, finally, to the question in the text, who is this? He sees the mighty conqueror approaching. And the answer comes back to Isaiah. I that speak in righteousness. There's only one that can speak in righteousness. And that's our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The mighty conqueror. May I say to you tonight, the mighty conqueror is coming. When he comes again, he won't be born in a lowly manger. When he comes again, he won't be crucified on a cross. When he comes again, he'll be with a sword. And he'll be riding on a white horse. And when he comes again, he'll put a stop to all of this sinful wickedness that's on every hand today. Thank God he's coming. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Who is this that cometh? The mighty conqueror. Do you know him tonight? Have you trusted him as your Lord and Savior? If you haven't, it'd be a good time to get in. Amen. Let's pray. Father, God, we thank you tonight for the privilege to speak your word. Thank you for your presence, Lord. God, this is not my message, it's your message. And Lord, you've given it the way you wanted it to be given. And now I pray, dear God, that you would just overrule our failures and do the work that only you can do in the hearts and the lives of individuals. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you praise and honor and glory in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.